Simply Conscious presents Everyday Genius. Real life stories of everyday genius, unconventional wisdom, and inspiring transformations.
Hello, Daniel Wagner here, co-founder of Simply Conscious. I'm here with Pete Craik, the other co-founder of Simply Conscious, and this is a little preview of one of our Everyday Genius podcasts. This one is with a lady called Nina Conception, and she talks about conscious sales. What's relevant for me here is the question, how on earth can you combine those two things, sales and consciousness? How can you be a truthful marketer, so to say, which seems to be a contradiction in terms. Pete and I explored that topic in depth 4 years ago when we started Simply Conscious. We created the Truth-Based Marketing Alliance, and we were playing around with how can we as business owners be totally in integrity, not distort, not inflate, not try to influence people beyond what is actually to be spoken from truth. And I'm really, really curious to know how that interview was for you, Pete. So she is in Australia, right? She's at the other end of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Daniel. So yeah, this again is a funny one. It's someone who I came across in another group, another kind of Facebook, and saw her come alive. I saw her kind of like in the background before, but then something triggered her and she just came alive, and all of a sudden she was everywhere. And I kind of like felt compelled, I guess, by this idea that she was talking about conscious sales, which as you said, we explored kind of like 4 years ago when we first started Simply Conscious. So I was intrigued as to how she was interpreting what conscious sales was. And the beautiful thing is that actually there was so much more. This wasn't just, I kind of like expected it to be just a gimmick in order to tap into a shift that's happening in the way people do business.
I know what you mean. Like people using authenticity. Now you got to be authentic and vulnerable and cry a bit, then people buy more from you, which is like the opposite of what we wanted to establish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it absolutely wasn't that at all. You know, there was a depth, there was a knowing, there was a wisdom in her experience that had led her to this idea that we had to do sales in a different way. And she'd come from a background of, you know, call it sales in, you know, call it hard-nosed real estate, and had realized that that just wasn't where her gift was. And she'd done so much call it spiritual work and work trying to understand herself, you know, as we have and as many of our listeners will have. And it's that kind of filters through into everything that she does. And it's just a beautiful listen. And there's so much more depth. There's so much more pain in her life that has led to who she is right now. And I think we're going to do another podcast with her to talk about that, because she had an experience of kind of sexual abuse and you're kind of self-harming as a result of that. So she's had a real journey to go through. And I want to explore that more. But I think that's kind of what's led to kind of where she is now.
So if you I remember you coming off that interview saying, oh my God, it went so deep. I think there will be another interview just about her journey up to that realization. But if you had to summarize, what's one of the biggest takeaways for you that you could bring into your life or our business from the conversation with Nina? What would that be?
I think the biggest thing is something that we've been tapping into ourselves, which is actually kind of just getting to truth and developing a sense of understanding of who you are and selling from that perspective. So not selling from the head, you know, and actually trying to drop in and sell from the heart. Not even sell. This isn't about selling, and that's what I understood. This is about kind of like dropping from the head to the heart and communicating from the heart. And when you can communicate from the heart, then that's where, you know, this kind of shift from messaging to a commercial transaction can happen much more effortlessly.
Nice. Effortlessly. Very, very relevant for right now, for the future, where we're going. So if that interests you, please listen to the full episode. You can find this, of course, this is an intro to the episode, so just carry on listening. If you listen to this as a standalone piece, head over to simplyconscious.com, go to the podcast section and find Nina's podcast. And of course, many other everyday genius conversations Pete and I were having with everyday folks that are inspiring us, that we want to reach out to. Also, check out our other channels. you might want to feel called to join our Facebook group, simplyconscious.com. We want to help you get more out of life. And this is our short message for today. Enjoy and speak very soon.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Everyday Geniuses by Simply Conscious. I'm your host for today's show, Pete Craig. And it's a real pleasure today to welcome to the show a lady who, after 10 years in sales, two of those at the very top of her game as a top five earner in the real estate space, has taken a different direction and taken those skills to now follow her passion and actually help female entrepreneurs, female CEOs that are leading transformational and visionary businesses really achieve their goals through what she's like tagged and what I believe is the way we need to be doing things these days, which is conscious sales. Now, we'll dive into that a little bit more, and she can explain herself what she believes conscious sales is and why she's made this shift. But let me tell you first how I first came across her and why I believe that I wanted to bring her on the show today. So it just so happens we're part of a couple of groups on social media that are very similar, and all of a sudden my feed was just flooded with posts from this lady just shouting about what it was that she was doing, but in a really nice, genuine, authentic way, and it really piqued my interest. So I reached out and just said, hey, look, I'd love to connect and love to find out a little bit more about this. And as we've done that, I really feel that there's a message that needs to be shared, and that there is a new way that businesses need to connect, that businesses need to communicate their message and communicate and support their audiences or their customer bases. And I think the gift that she's got, or the genius that she has, is this ability to, number one, sell, but sell in a way and communicate in a way that really is heartfelt and really is with the company's best interest, but also with humanity's best interest at its heart. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to today's show the wonderful Nina Conception. Hi, Nina.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction.
My pleasure. So before we really get started, there's something that we do as a practice, as a company, which is these little check-ins. And we do this every morning. So we have a team meeting every morning, remotely, of course. The team meeting goes, or the sharing goes along these lines. And the first question we always ask ourselves and we ask each other is, what's alive in you right now?
I love that. What's alive in me right now is really observing the beauty in the transformation of people right now. Because a lot of people, especially with the time of this recording, COVID is happening and there's this world crisis happening. And so a lot of people are really being triggered and really being called to show up. So being able to observe the clients that I'm working with and the people who I'm surrounded by, and really them going through this internal transformation of showing up and uncovering deeper layers of their unconscious mind and pains and hurts that they've had really come up has been really beautiful for me.
Excellent. That's I think we're all seeing that right now. Or at least those of us who are it's wrong for me to say those of us who are aware. I think everyone is seeing everyone is seeing it at some level. But perhaps some people are just interpreting it slightly different. So it's, I love the way you explain that. The second thing we ask each other is, what's the universe inviting you to do more of right now?
Reach more people.
As specific types of people, or?
People who are ready to listen, people who are ready to think outside the box, people who are willing to be wrong. Not that I'm right, but just have an open mind, because I do believe that we are transitioning out of an old way of doing business and an old way of living into a new way. And so those people who are willing to be open-minded and birth something new are the types of people that I feel are ready to hear more of these sorts of conversations.
And so I'm going to go off piece a little bit. How do you test for that?
So when someone reaches out to you and says, I really want to work with you, how do you test that?
Would you like to know how I test if they're a right person for me to work with, or how do I test if they're open to this sort of information?
I would imagine they're one in the same.
I'm quite picky with who I work with. But the part that does overlap is very much the main thing is I'm feeling into my body and I'm feeling into my intuition, because when you have an energetic resonance with someone, it's pretty obvious. You're vibing, it's exciting, sometimes you get a bit flustered because you're so excited. And I also feel that the people who are really ready to listen ask a lot of questions and they lean in slightly more than people who aren't.
Yeah.
They're not trying to tell you that they know everything. If anything, they're asking more really a lot of curious questions. They're wanting to consume and learn as opposed to feeling like they know everything.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. The energetic thing is definitely something. I think everyone's sense of that is much more heightened right now. And it becomes very clear when people are coming from a place of lack or a place of need or desperation to those that are actually just accepting. And that doesn't, by accepting, I don't mean that, they're happy with the situation. It doesn't mean that, they're comfortable. Yeah. It doesn't mean that they're not driven. It just means that they are accepting of what is right now, and aware that things can change in a moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think for me as well, sorry, Pete, if I can just share.
Yeah, go.
It's also finding where is the joy in this moment? How can I enjoy this isolation? How can I be appreciative of what I do have? For example, I live in the eastern suburbs of Sydney and I'm still really close to the beach. I'm able to work from home. My partner's able to work from home. So those things alone, just having that opportunity and having a home where I have good internet, where I have support, where I have the ability to be able to make my own hours, and regardless of whatever situation you're in, I'm sure there is something that you can be grateful for with this entire pandemic happening.
Absolutely. I love that you say finding joy in the moment. And I'll tell you why, because tomorrow actually I'm recording another podcast with a guy called Mike Rucker. And Mike is in the process of writing a book called The Fun Habit.
Ooh. And
this is all about research that he's been doing for the last few years around fun and how we can use fun within our lives. And he shared with me a really interesting comparison. And he said this came about for him during a particular period of his life where there were some struggles going on for him. And he was experiencing a lot of sadness. But he recognized that sadness had the ability, if he let it, to pull him down into depression.
Mm.
And what he realized was, I can't be happy because there's this sadness, because you can't be happy and sad at the same time. But what you can be is sad and have fun. So you can take these moments, and you can plan in these moments where you have joy or these moments where you experience fun. And by doing that, it allows you not to get drawn back, and it allows you to change the way that your life goes.
Mm.
Yeah, and he now teaches and shares processes and ways that you can actually build fun into your life and become and enjoy more periods of fun.
Mm.
Yeah, and he talks a lot. He's done a lot of research about the psychology and how fun actually impacts your brain and your physical system as well as your mental system. So I'm really looking forward to
that.
I love that you talked about joy in the moment, because I think the reality is, and if this pandemic has taught me one thing, that is that the joy is in the moment.
I love that. I can't wait to listen to that one as well.
And finally, and you kind of touched on this in the last one, what are you grateful for right now?
I'm grateful for the work that I do. I really do feel it is an honor to work with the people that I work with and to be able to reach the people that I can reach, and just to be able to speak here on the podcast with you and for us to be connected. I'm really grateful for that. I do not take lightly that people are paying attention to what I'm saying and what I'm sharing. And I just feel like it is a privilege and an honor to be able to inspire and impact people to live better lives and better businesses.
Do you feel a responsibility in that as well?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I was interviewing the amazing Tom Cronin, who's one of the leading meditation experts in Australia. And I said to him when I was interviewing him, you know, there's that saying that Les Brown talks about, how destiny comes knocking on your door and you're like, no, not me. And destiny's like, yes, you. Like, what about this guy? And he's like, no, you. And so I feel like as leaders, there is a sense of responsibility, and you can feel when you have a calling for something, but there's sometimes that part of you that wants to run away.
Yeah.
And I asked Tom, how often, or have you ever felt like you don't want to do this anymore? And he's like, about 3 times a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it keeps showing up, and yeah, it's very similar. You know, when you watch a lot of movies, and it's really interesting when you pay attention to the subliminal messages in movies, like even Spider-Man, a lot of the time the leader or the hero wants to run away from their responsibility. But when they see the need, when they realize there's no choice, they step up and they level up every time.
Yeah.
And so it's, I feel like I'm a bit of a superhero within my own life, but it feels a little bit like that.
Yeah. Cool. That's brilliant. And yeah, I actually checked Tom out after I saw that you'd interviewed him, and he looks like a really interesting guy. So
he's amazing.
I might reach out to him as well.
I would love that. Let him know that I connected you.
Yeah,
he could appreciate that.
So you talked a little bit there about fear.
Mm.
And I want to ask you, you know, has there been on this journey of kind of like transformation that you've had, you know, when you think about you know, the challenges you've had to overcome, and you think about what you do every day, yeah, what were some of the fears that you had to get over?
To be honest, Pete, I feel like it's a constant journey. And I say this to my clients, I'm still working through so many things. And whenever you think you're done, you realize you're not. So I wouldn't say that I've completely overcome any fear, because when I feel like I have, then there's another layer that uncovers itself. And so rather than judging it for what it is, it's just an acceptance of it's a transformation and a constant journey. But some of the major fears that I've really had to move through and, you know, release layers of fear, fear of rejection, fear of not being good enough, fear of being seen, fear of succeeding, fear of what are people going to say about me, although that was quite low for me, because as a child I was sexually abused, and I talk a little bit about this in my book coming out later on this year, The Naked You, A Guide to Living Authentically in Life and Business. And when something like that happens to someone, I think you either go one way or the other. And for me, I said to myself, I'm never going to do something based on peer pressure ever again. And so the whole people like, oh, how come you don't care what people think? I'm like, because I've had my own journey in that. So there's things that I've had to overcome, but experiences that I have leaned into and I have learned to accept have allowed me to really move through those fears, like that fear, for example.
That was an extra question. I just felt called to go and ask that.
Yeah.
It felt right.
So
tell us a little bit more about, you know, your mission, because, you know, this really is a passion project. You know, you've come from a successful like career in real estate, and you took a big risk to like come out of that and follow your passion. You know, so what was the I guess let's start with, what was the moment when you knew that what you were doing as a job no longer served you, where you felt, you know, that kind of like, and I'm going to say this because I think so many entrepreneurs have this point where, you know, that small feeling that you've always had, just grown so big that you can no longer ignore it.
I love that. And I love these. These are amazing questions, by the way. So I was in real estate at the time. I was in my second year of real estate. So I had just become second in charge. I was in the process of opening up an office with my boss. I was fourth in the company and I was on top of the world. I was like, yep, tick, tick, tick. Yeah. I'm becoming successful. And I went to an event in Sydney where the amazing Brendan Burchard was speaking. And I just sat there listening to him. And my whole entire body felt alive, like more alive than I've ever felt in my entire life. And I just started crazily writing in my notebook about the fact that I was going to be a speaker, I was going to be an author, I was going to be a coach, when I had not thought about this previously to that moment, but I've always felt like I've wanted to make a difference. And in that moment, it all came to me all at once that I can use my life experiences, and it didn't even occur to me at the time that real estate was going to be such a big part of it, but the experience of being sexually abused and figuring out who I am and being my authentic self, how I could use those experiences to help people have better lives. And I've always wanted to have meaning and impact. I just didn't know how I was going to do it. I thought it was going to be real estate, but really that was only temporary. It was just part of my journey to get to where I am now. But that was the moment is when I saw Brendan.
And how long after that moment was it before you quit?
So I had a 5-year plan. I'm like, I'm going to get back to real estate. I'm saving up for my second property. I'm going to be financially free in 5 years. Me and my boss literally mapped it out. And I went back to real estate. And within a couple months, I think it was about a month, I went back to real estate. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I felt like my soul was dying. And every time I say that, I know how dramatic that sounds. But I just knew it wasn't for me anymore and that I had outgrown that. And my vision for myself had outgrown where I was. And it became 2 months. And then I started coaching 2 months later.
Yeah. And was that coaching in sales straight away?
No. So this is what else has been really interesting. I think as well, when people want to get into the coaching industry and the expert space, it's really easy to be hard on yourself. It's really easy to say, oh, I don't know my target audience. I don't know my niche. It's taken me years of uncovering and pivoting to figure out what I do now and how I do it and who my audience is. I started off as a life coach and then I was like, oh, I want to help people with business. And then I moved to business. And then I realized that I was really good at supporting people in becoming a coach. So I'm like, yeah, I help people become a coach. That's what I do. And it's only really been the last 6 to 12 months that it has occurred to me that I help people in sales. Like, it just clicked. And when it clicked, I was like, oh, that's so obvious. Why didn't I see it earlier?
Yeah.
And so everything's kind of come full circle now.
And was there a particular trigger for that? For that realization, you know, had something happened that allowed that message to drop in for you?
I don't think it was one particular thing. I feel like, especially because I'm someone who has recently decided that wealth is going to be a top priority in my life. As an entrepreneur, it's really easy for finances to go up and down. And I realize that it's not sustainable. It's not good for my business. It's not good for being able to reach more people. It's just not sustainable. So I've decided that I'm done with that pattern. And so when I decided that I need to really move through my money blocks and I'm really wanting to create more abundance into my life and more wealth, I've really started diving into what do I need to do? What do I need to shift? How can I change so that I can create that level of abundance I want in my life? So I was reading lots. I was educating myself lots. I was asking myself the same question over and over again. I was doing hypnosis. And one of the things that really supported me in figuring that out is T. Harv Eker's book. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, and there's another one that he has. It's a shorter book. I don't remember what it's called, but it's a shorter one as well. So I read both, and there's a few things that really clicked into place for me. So one of the things that he said was, you are going to be paid in the direct proportion that you provide value in the marketplace, and the marketplace needs whatever it is that you are providing. And I thought to myself, does the marketplace actually need what I provide? Or am I just trying to put my own perceptions onto you guys need this, as opposed to what is something that the market actually needs and how can I provide something? And so really asking myself those questions around what does the market actually need and what can I do and how can I give a lot of it? Because sometimes we're doing the right things already. We're just not giving enough value.
Yeah.
And so I upped everything. I started doing heaps more trainings, heaps more masterclasses, online events, reaching out to more people, really diving into and looking for how can I help these people in a way that a lot of people need, not just a few people, not just what I think they need, but what do most people need? And within, I was lying in bed one night and it just occurred to me and I was crazily writing and my partner was in bed next to me and I was like trying to wake him up. I'm like, I think I've got it. I think I figured it out. I'm like, I'm going to help people with conscious sales. So yeah, T-Hub definitely helped in putting those pieces together for me.
Awesome. Now you've just mentioned that word again. So I want to ask you, what does conscious sales mean to you? What's the difference between sales and conscious sales?
Yes. Oh, I love this. So this is part of, I didn't end up answering your vision question, but this will answer it a little bit. So I think it's pretty obvious that sales has a pretty bad rep in the world, right? Most people don't like sales. Most people have the perception of sleazy salespeople or who wants to be in sales, or there's just a bad perception with sales in general. And so when I decided to venture down the path of real estate or seeing if it was for me, there were two thoughts of the people around me in my life. There was, Nina, like you're going to get eaten alive. It's not for you. Like you're going to do shit pretty much. Yeah. And then other people were like, oh, you're going to do awesome. You're such a people person. You're going to do so great. And I found that I can see how hard it is for a lot of people in sales because there's so many things that come up for you. You know, there's insecurities that you move through. It's probably one of the biggest personal development things you can ever do because you're moving through rejection and your own insecurities. But what I found that by me honoring myself and me having a mentor who had values, who had ethics, and who could train me with everything that I learned in real estate, I was really able to be who I was and not fall into the trap of lying, manipulating people, saying what I need to do, saying whatever you need to say in order to make the sale.
Yeah.
I had plenty of opportunities to do that, but I chose not to. And I don't feel I would have done it anyway because I'm quite strong with who I am. But having that support with my mentor and him backing me really, really supported me in seeing that, no, this is, I'm going to stay true to who I am. And then the results really started coming in when those pieces came together for me and I was persistent with real estate. Like something I say to people, I didn't really start making commission until my third quarter.
Yeah.
Which is 9 months, like it's 6 to 9 months of me working 10-hour days, 6 days a week. Like it took time. But I found that through being myself, through being honest, through sharing with people when I didn't know something, through under-promising and over-delivering. If I didn't know something, I'm not going to tell someone I know. I'm going to say, I'll find out for you and I will get back to you. I wasn't lying. Obviously, there's things like the transfer of enthusiasm and being excited, which you can pump yourself up to be excited, but I didn't lie about what the price of the property was or what someone would take for it or anything like that. And so for me, conscious sales is really making soul-based offerings with the people who you have a soul alignment with. And I'm talking specifically now when it comes to entrepreneurship, because I know that there's a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to this podcast. And that's my audience as well, because as entrepreneurs, sometimes we just want to make money and it's really easy just to say yes to everyone. Mm. But it's actually in our integrity to say to certain people, I don't feel like I'm the right person for you. I don't feel like I can support you right now. Or even having the difficult conversation of, I don't feel like this is a match for us anymore and actually terminating the relationship as well. And so part of my vision is really shifting the way that society sees sales. I want us to live in a society where we're not trying, where the majority of salespeople aren't trying to manipulate. They can be in their integrity so that we can shift that perception of dirty, sleazy sales to, I'm I don't need to be scared of sales because I'm not going to buy anything I don't want to buy. No one can force me to buy anything I don't want to buy. But at the same time, there is also not that manipulation. There's not that trying to get something out of someone.
Yeah.
Like, I make it very clear with my clients, you're investing in yourself through me. Like, this is an exchange of energy on both of our parts. Mm-hmm. And so I truly feel that those people who you are supposed to work with, who you are supposed to have that exchange with, allows you both to show up to another level. And something else that I say just lastly with that question, when you get paid, you show up on a level that you wouldn't have got, that you wouldn't have if you didn't get paid.
Yeah.
And for people who invest in themselves, so for us, when we've invested in ourselves, we show up more than we've ever shown up because we've got skin in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's just that amazing synergistic relationship that happens when two people come together and they really commit to what they're wanting to co-create. And it really is a soul alignment. It really is a beautiful co-creation of both people and whoever else is involved evolving and transforming. And that's how I want people to see sales.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I love that. I think one of the ways that, I've always viewed this and viewed communication, so not necessarily sales, but just communication, so authentic communication. And this is something that I've taught for a while now. And that's kind of like trying to help people understand that when you communicate, when you start to communicate from your heart instead of from your head, the message doesn't change, but what changes is the frequency of the message.
Yeah.
And people feel it, and it's difficult for people to grasp, because it's a self-selecting process.
Yeah.
In so much as when if I'm selling to you or I'm communicating with you and I'm communicating from the heart and you're in the head, then we're not going to align. So you almost like you deselect yourself from buying me without me having to make that decision.
Yes.
And I think right now, right now is the perfect time for what you're doing. Purely and simply because I think we've had to get to this kind of like tipping point, of the internet, of information, of awakening, if you like. People have got so much choice now. People don't need to buy the only solution that's available.
Yeah.
People can go and do research, and they can figure out actually who do I feel a connection with? Who do I feel has the same values as me?
Yeah.
So actually, whereas previously there was only a very, very tiny minority of people who subscribed to this same thought and this same belief that values were more important. And those people were few and far between, because actually the journey for someone transitioning into that, they would see a slowdown of sales and conversions and impact.
Yeah.
And immediately that flags up fears for them. And then they go back to their old habits, their old behaviors, thinking this doesn't work, I can't do this.
Yeah.
But actually now humanity and humanity's awareness and the way more businesses are showing up, the types of businesses that you're working with are actually showing up, it's accelerated that process. And so now actually what people are looking for is people like you. They are looking for people who communicate from the heart. They are looking for businesses that actually have their best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who go the extra mile, those people who really follow up. And I've been saying, to a number of my coaching clients, right now is the time to serve.
Yes.
Now is the time to build up that bank of goodwill, even with people who aren't your own clients.
Yeah.
Just go out there, serve them, help them, support them, offer them advice, because you can bet your life when things come back on track, you're the one that's going to stand out, because you've given freely and you've given from the heart.
Yeah.
And that then is going to translate into money, because at the end of the day, you think, again, this is something that many people, and I imagine you find this in the space that you work in, and I've seen it for years. I've worked with in personal development and with spiritual communities for a long time. And one of the things that you notice is that typically, and I'm going to generalize a little bit here, but typically those people do struggle with sales. because there is this idea that actually I can't make money out of something that's supposed to be good. I'll leave one final little thing. One of my spiritual guides, an Indian gentleman, once said to me, and it's always stuck in my mind, you have to live a 200% life, 100% material and 100% spiritual.
Yeah.
Because you cannot help other people until you help yourself first.
Yes, yeah. I love that.
Which kind of like comes back to your question about, you know, this up and down kind of roller coaster that most entrepreneurs experience just doesn't allow you to have the impact that you want to have in the world.
Yes. And, you know, one of my mentors, Jeffrey Slater, he's amazing. For those of you who don't know who he is, I highly recommend you follow him on social media. He talks about, you know, in conscious business, there's the dance between business and spirituality. And we often hide in one or the other. So we're often focused on business, but it's time to do the inner work. Or we focus on the inner work, but it's time to actually take action. And in order for us to bridge those two worlds, we actually need to dance between the two worlds. Yeah.
It's constant. It's, you know, it's kind of like you said with working through fears, all of this stuff is a constant. I've been doing some research on Joe Vitale and Dr. Hugh Lin and Ho'oponopono. So Ho'oponopono I've practiced on and off for 10 years.
Very powerful.
Yeah. And Dr. Hugh Lin talks about, someone asked him in a seminar, how long does this take? And he said, I've been doing it for 25 years. He said, it's boring, it's laborious. He said, but it's a lifetime's work.
Yeah.
And that kind of resonated with me, because that's exactly what business should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. What business and what life should be. It's a constant process of evolving, of developing your own awareness and your place in the world.
And that's why the joy is so important, because if we keep focusing on there's more work, you can get stuck in, why is there so much work, as opposed to finding the enjoyment in the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So since you've kind of made this change, this kind of conscious change to work with a very specific type of person, what's the impact that you're seeing?
It's so crazy. There's that saying, I don't know the exact percentage, so you guys do not quote me on this. It's something like a rocket uses 80% of its fuel in takeoff. And a big part of when I first became a coach and entrepreneur is I was trying to do everything. I was like, I'm going to be a speaker, I'm going to be a coach, I'm going to be blah, 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 all these things. And I kept burning myself out. And it's not until I got super clear that I can do everything, but let's just focus on one for now. Let's just get one off the ground. And ever since I've had that clarity, ever since I've honed in my focus, like, my business is just exploding at the moment. And that's also why I feel so grateful just to be able to work with the people that I work with. I've got so many clients. I'm almost at max capacity because I've also one of the amazing women who's a leader in the sexuality space, she's hired me as her sales manager as well. So I'm literally almost at max capacity, but it's, as much as I'm really busy, I'm also very grateful for the work that I'm able to do. And I don't take that lightly. Yeah. And so, does that answer your question?
I think that's perfect. Yeah. What if anything is unique to you about what you do? What's the difference that makes the difference in you? You know, so this might be something that it's typically difficult for us to identify those things ourselves. It's usually something that someone else says to us.
Yes. I've spent a lot of time thinking about what makes me unique and what is my unique offering, because that's what makes you stand out, right? You need to get clear on what makes you you. I find that there's quite a few things. There's having the experience that I have in real estate, the fact that I'm a female, the fact that I have a Filipino background. Like, I was born in the Philippines. I came to Sydney when I was one. So I already come from a, you know, low economic background. Yeah. And also my family wasn't wealthy. Like, we were low to middle class. But I truly feel that the experiences that I've had in my life, from being sexually abused and forgiving that person and finding healing in that, to the experience that I've had in real estate, to being able to work with some of the most amazing mentors I've ever had the chance to work with, yeah. to going and being in the Amazon jungle and being with plant medicine for 10 days. All of those experiences have allowed me to have that masculine energy of, this is what's important for me, so I'm going to go for it, but also coming from a space of, this is what I'm feeling is right for me and the people who I'm working with or not working with. And my long-term vision is obviously to support humanity as a whole in the way that I can support them.
Yeah.
And so having those two pieces of the dance of the masculine and feminine, I feel, is what allows me to do the work of conscious sales, but coming from a place of heart.
Beautiful. Beautiful. It's perfect. So you mentioned something there that I didn't know that you hadn't shared with me before, and that's that that you went to the jungle as well and and journeyed with plant medicines. Was that a calling? Did you feel called to do that? Was it part of a larger healing for you?
Yeah, 100%. So I've always known my entire life that there's more to life. I was always that weird kid that asked a bunch of questions and people were like, what are you talking about? Like, who asked these questions? It's so weird. Like, from a young age, I'm like, what's the meaning of life? Why am I here? Surely life has to be worth more than this. Like, there has to be more to life. And so I thought that when I got into real estate, I'm like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But even when I started to become a coach and I started to coach people, and even though I wasn't clear on the conscious sales part, I was doing what I loved, but there was still something missing for me. I'm like, I thought to myself, I feel like there's more to life. I feel like there's pieces missing that I'm looking for. And I remember, I've always been called to go to Peru. Like, I love traveling anyway, but Peru is something Peru's a place I've always wanted to go. Don't know why. I don't really know much about Peru. I know there's Machu Picchu. That's it. And so when a mentor of mine mentioned that he's going to Peru, I said, what are you doing? Like, why are you going to Peru? Like, I want to know more about this. And I pretty much ended up going to the jungle with my mentor with 20 other people, and we had about 6 to 10 support staff as well who were all holding space for us, excluding the 3 shamans. And I remember, it's so intense. Medicine is definitely not for everybody. No. Like, it is super, super, super intense. But I say to everyone, there is an innate calling. So my relationship with the medicine is as real as my relationship with Pete, is as real as my relationship with my daughter. I can, like, it's like someone's there with me. Like, you can feel an entity or feel a presence of something or someone. And when you really get to, for those people who are called and who have worked with medicine, one of the things that's so powerful is it's so unique. It's such a unique relationship. Like, my journey with the medicine is very different to the 19 other people that were there. And we integrated every other day because we had a ceremony every other day. So ceremony, integration. So as you can imagine, over 10 days, it's a lot of medicine. And what is so powerful is I have never, ever felt so much love and so much pain all at the same time. Yeah. And I love what Brené Brown says, we cannot selectively numb. Mm. When we choose to numb the pain, we numb the joy.
Yeah.
And I realized that unconsciously and, you know, through society and through generations, we've learnt to numb ourselves. We've learnt to try to forget the pain, but then we forget how to live. We forget the joy. And so it's going to sound so crazy, but I know whoever's going to listen is going to take whatever they need to take from it. But what I realized working with medicine is that I am an infinite being. I realized that I'm a multidimensional being. I've lived many times before, that I've experienced, you know, crazy, crazy, crazy experiences. I've been burnt at the stake. I've been hung. I've been stabbed in the back physically. There's all of these things that I've experienced, and I have come here to do my part in what's here for the collective, and that we are no different. I am not separate to you. I am not separate to the tree. I am not separate to the air that I breathe. and to really feel that, to not just comprehend it and read a whole bunch of spiritual books and it click mentally. It's very different when you feel it in your body and you can feel the pain of the people in the world who are still suffering. Mm. There was a point where I get so emotional thinking about it. there's a point over the 10 days where we were all crying with gratitude, because when you realize that other people are going through the work with you, when you realize that other people are still suffering, you realize it's not about you anymore. It's not about what you can get out of it. It's not about you surviving. It's about how can I do my part, because there's still people in the world who are dying, are being abused, who are being murdered, and I'm making it about me. And also realizing that we're not alone. Like sometimes as entrepreneurs and leaders, you feel alone because we feel like, you know, we're in the alone, we're doing our businesses alone. And when you realize that there's other people in the world who are going through the work with you, who are doing the work with you, it's like a coming home to yourself. Yeah. And so medicine for me was a reminder of who I am to my core, who I am at the infiniteness of who I am. Mm. And that was the piece of me that I had forgotten. And so as much as medicine isn't the answer, for me, it was a massive piece in me coming back to who I am. And something that I do feel like is important for me to share is that for those people who are like, oh, like that's a drug, one of the biggest difference between drugs and psychedelics is drugs are addictive. Drugs are an escape. People go to drugs to try and leave their body, to try and get away from their problems. Medicine make you force whatever is going on that you didn't even know was there. Yeah. Medicine is not something you do for luxury. It is not enjoyable. It is literally going to face, you're going to face your deepest, darkest fears. You're going to experience it as if you're physically there. And it's also a calling. Like it doesn't taste good if you know the medicine that you like it there. Like it's not a great tasting medicine at all. But it's also there to show you more of who you are, and it's not addictive. Like people who have had high amounts of addiction have been able to work with medicine and go cold turkey just like that.
Yeah.
And so it's not addictive. It is not something to try and escape from. It is literally a coming home to yourself. And the one thing that medicine has really supported me with is realizing that everything is in me. We do not need medicine to be who we are.
It's a doorway.
Exactly.
To
ourselves.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, it's been 5-6 years now since I last journeyed. Mm. And again, you know, I love that you've kind of like reiterated, because I always say this to people, it's a calling. It's definitely a calling, but yeah, absolutely, it's a gateway. And one of the other podcasts that I've just recorded and just released actually was with Mark John Brown, who I believe you know as well. So Mark's been a good friend for a number of years now, and I love interviewing him. So we talked a little bit about medicine and his unique like gift in that space and with the Indigenous tribes. So
which is also why it's so powerful and important that we do our best to save the Amazon, we do our best to save the trees, because once, you know, if there's no more trees left, that's where the medicine comes from. The medicine comes from nature. And without that, then, you know, I also trust that if that's supposed to happen, then, you know, one of my mentors say that medicine is here for the time being, and we're going to have enough awareness that we don't necessarily are going to be working with medicine anymore, or to the extent that we are. But it's also sad. Let's not chop down all the trees.
How do you, I mean, everything you talked about there is, it's that these are conversations that me and my team have every day. This being everything. But it's a difficult concept. How do you and when do you decide that it's the right time to share that message with your coaching clients? Because the reality is, once you understand that, then you know, the
rabbit hole.
Yeah, the thing, but the things that you thought were blocks, you know, no longer become blocks, because actually what you see is that those are just reflections of you.
Oh my God. Can I share my poem with you?
Yeah, go for it.
This is, it's exactly what we're talking about. So I wrote this poem years ago. So I wrote it well before I worked with medicine, but it talks on all of the things that we have just talked about. Let me just find it real quick. Anything you want to share while I just look for it?
No, I'm gonna ask you something in a second, and it's up to you whether you share this or not. But I'd love to know something about you that you've never shared with anyone publicly before.
I'm pretty open. I share quite a lot openly. What is something that I haven't shared with anyone publicly?
And if there is nothing, that's fantastic, because it's just
I'm really open, like from, you know, speaking about my sexual abuse to speaking about my sexuality, speaking about the fact that it took me a really long time to open up sexually because of what had happened to me. I've shared everything on some level publicly, because I feel like in order to make the difference that I'm here to make, I need to share those parts of myself. And I really feel like there is a power in being vulnerable as a leader.
Yeah.
Hence the naked you.
So two things. The first thing I just want to rewind to was you talked a lot about kind of that we don't feel things.
We don't. We're numb. We're selectively numb.
We're numb ourselves. We talk a lot about, again, kind of within a company, but one of the things that we've recognized is that humanity, and especially men, have lost their ability to feel. They've lost their ability to feel and to identify where the pain's coming from. And going on a level from that is kind of, we've also lost the ability to talk, to communicate, and to be open about those things. Yeah, and that's why, you know, things like circle work is amazing, but it just gives you that kind of free, that safe space to be open. If you can't be open, you like with everyone, it gives you that space, that safe space to be free to speak your truth. Because even
which
if
is
you,
so healing.
Yeah, because even so if you healing. Can't do it, even if you can't do it publicly or not ready to do it publicly, just there's something magical about just speaking those words. And it comes back to a friend of mine who's one of the top vocal coaches in the world, talks about the fact that, and it reminds me all the time, you know, that in the beginning there was the word and the word was God. Now, if you strip out the connotations of what God means, if you just think about God being consciousness, about being all of us, then you say that sentence again. Yeah. And in the beginning there was the word, and the word was me, the word was I, the word was we. Then it brings on a completely different meaning. And all of a sudden you realize the power of the word, because the word was the thing that was there at the beginning. And he talks so much about how, you know, the word, how our voice, and how our voice and our connection with the breath is the key to everything. And I'm going to get him on and interview him again.
I love that.
You know, his message, and he spent 20 years in a in an ashram studying, and taught himself how to sing, and then became one of the top vocal coaches.
Wow.
In the
What's his name?
His name's Anthony Wade. He's also Dr. Voice.
Oh, cool. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
I love that. I've actually got a tattoo on my chest. It says, use your breath.
Yeah. Perfect.
And I got that after being in the jungle.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I'm going to quickly read my poem to you, because I feel like it's going to be valuable for everyone. What's the point of resentment? What's the point of pain when there's only really love and gratitude to be gained? Reflection of our inner self, the world that we create. Everyone is us, just another way remade. Pain and holding on often only holds us back from loving ourselves down every single track. The path and journeys we attract, we experience, is really only testing our wants, desires, and resilience. our desire to want to grow into more of who we are this lifetime. Will you be a star or a scar? Treat every person with gratitude and acceptance for exactly where they are. They are just parts of you reflected, interesting or bizarre. Treat every living thing with respect and appreciation, as everything is just a reminder by an abbreviation. But the puzzles you see are only for those who seek. If you are ready, you will see the congruency between the one being all unique. Look at everything as an experience to reveal. There's nothing that can ever be taken to steal. It's all you. Everything is one. Everything needs doing. At the same time, everything is done. No need to feel guilty because they are only you. Put yourself first because it's true to do. Responding to every experience with love, understanding that how you respond would cause or reverse your expanding. To consciously create experience to become what is, remember it is everything you can choose or choose not to dismiss. Pay attention to the little things and hold on to anger, or be the awakened. You are the dance, not the dancer.
Beautiful. That's incredible. When did you write that?
I wrote that just before I decided to move to Bali, 2015.
Yeah, wow.
5 years ago.
Was that as the result of any particular work that you were doing on yourself, or?
I had just maxed out my credit card and I was at a really low financially. But what I realized is, and this is when we dance between the two worlds, right? Like, I was super successful in real estate and then I went down the spiritual path. I'm like, I don't need to be rich. I don't need to be like, I don't need to have lots of money. I'd rather be happy than be rich. And so, you know, since then I've come to realize I can have both. Yeah. But when I went down that massive spiritual path, I really wanted to do what filled me up. And I've always wanted to live in another city. And I was always called to move to Bali as well. And I remember I got to Bali and I booked my ticket within a couple of days. I'm like, let's go to Bali. One of my best friends just moved over there. And I remember we just went on the bike and we just did some journeying around the island. And we decided, okay, we should probably find somewhere to stay. It's getting quite late. And there was a place where the first place we went to, and I was like, I want to stay here. And it was just the most beautiful place. And I just felt so at home here. I don't know what it was, but I just felt so at home. And it was funny because I was sitting on the, like, cause when you look out at the front of like where you're staying, and then you just look onto this massive mountain, like it's so picturesque. And there was a guy who came around and I had just written the poem and I was just feeling like this needs to come through me. And then a guy comes around, a gardener, and he comes around bringing free fruit. I'm like, oh, I love food. Thank you so much for bringing me food. And after like 20 minutes of a conversation, I realized his shirt said, you only visit Kintamani once, because that's the name of the place. Yeah. And I was like, your t-shirt's wrong. He's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, it's wrong. Like, I'll be back here. And he's like, no, no, no. And he turned around and on the back of the shirt, he said, because the next time you're coming home. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love that. Where can I buy one of these shirts? And literally I sat there in awe being like, what the hell? Like, I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. And then he walked away and I was sitting there staring at this mountain and I was like, I do. I feel like I'm at home. And then the strangest thing happened. There's two pillars of like brick where, like, at the front of where I was staying. And I looked over and I'm not even kidding, I saw my name carved into the wall. And I was like, what is going on? It looked like my writing. I have really messy writing. And it looked like my writing. There was no other name anywhere. It just said Nina. And Nina is not a common name. And so I was like, what? And so I got out my phone and I went live on Facebook. And that was how I built my personal brand from that first video. Because I was like, how did I get like 1,000 views in like an hour? So that's a little story about my poem.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, just before we wrap up, I'm not sure whether you had time or not, but if you did, then let me know, because depends the next question.
I do.
Did you get the opportunity to kind of have a quick look at the 10 ways that I sent you?
No, not yet.
Cool.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I've been so busy with my launch.
No worries. So essentially, we can come back to this another time and I'll just post it. But essentially, we wrote a short report, which we are turning into a book, actually, which is the 10 ways to access your inner wisdom and ignite your own genius. And these aren't prescriptive. You know, these came via, we were just kind of like bouncing ideas around, and we each wrote a couple and then we fleshed them out a little bit. But we could write so much more on each of these things. And these aren't, again, they're not just from us. These are kind of like universal truths that we've observed that have worked for us, and we know that have worked for lots of other people. You know, so things like, you know, be still, get up and get out, you know, kind of like change your environment, change your reality. Kind of get real, you know, which talks about kind of like actually being brutally honest with self, removing the masks, so as you can see the real you. Feel all emotions. Yeah. So all of these things,
I love that.
We wrote these things, and then ever since we wrote them, in almost every conversation we have, whether it's between ourselves or with other people, something is said that points to one of those things. And that, you know, instantly we're kind of like, every time that happens, we just light up more and more, because, you know, we're seeing, you know, these things that were kind of like downloaded through us and that we felt compelled to write. All of a sudden we're recognizing them in everything around us.
I love that. I can't wait to have a look.
Have a look at that. So finally, just before we wrap up, words of wisdom from Where's the wisdom from the Naked Coach?
Find the parts of you that you don't feel like you love and you don't feel like you accept, and learn to love those parts of you.
Perfect. Fantastic. Well, what a great way to end an amazing interview. So thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure finding more about you, and thank you for sharing so openly and honestly, and keep shining your light and keep doing what you're doing. I love the message and I love the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Pete. You too. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
For more real life stories of everyday genius, unconventional wisdom and inspiring transformations, subscribe to our podcast or go to simplyconscious.com. Get more out of life.